I was in a hotel entering an elevator when I saw a small handwritten note placed on the wall, and it said, "Party tonight, room 410, 9 p.m., everyone invited." Wow, who'd ever throw a party like that? I imagine the strange assortment of people who might show up. Now, there would be the sales representatives seeking a little relief from the tedium of the road, a vacationing couple tired of sightseeing, a man stopping overnight in the middle of a long journey looking for a bit of festivity, a few inquisitive and wary hotel employees, and of course, some college kids who are always up for a party and curious about what was going to be happening in room 410. But a few hours later, the sign by the elevator was gone, replaced by a typewritten statement from the motel staff, explaining that the original notice had been a practical joke. And I thought, that made sense, but in a way it was too bad. Because for a brief moment I was fascinated with the possibility that there just might be a party going on somewhere to which all were invited. A party where it didn't make much difference, any difference, who you were when you walked in the door, but only that you came and you were invited and arrived. There are no parties like that anymore, or anywhere, are there? Except in the church. Jesus is always talking about parties. He's always going to parties. When Jesus invites people to follow him, he invites them to a party. Remember, it was at a wedding at Cana that Jesus miraculously transforms water into the wine so that everyone can keep on partying. Remember, it was Jesus who takes the smarmy, despised tax collector Zacchaeus out to dinner, does some partying, and so changes Zacchaeus' life that he pays back all of his victims with interest. Remember how Jesus' enemies criticized him for too much partying with the wrong kind of people? And to answer his critics, Jesus tells three stories, three parables about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And each story ends with a party. In today's gospel, Jesus tells another parable about a party. A king is determined to throw a wedding banquet for his son. Despite numerous setbacks, he will not give up and refuses to have his plan thwarted by a bunch of party poopers. His first invitation to the wedding banquet is ignored by those who have better things to do. He issues a second invitation by emphasizing how hard he has worked to make this an unforgettable party. He says, "Look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Let's party." Again, those invited are unimpressed. Even worse, when you don't like the message, what do? You kill the messenger, which is exactly what they did. And the king did not take such an insult lying down. And they pay for their insolence with their blood. Still determined to have his party, the king issues a third invitation. And unlike the first two invitations, this invitation is not given to privileged insiders. It goes not to friends or people with the right social connections. It goes to everyone, both good and bad. People who under normal circumstances the king would never invite to an event like this. This, shall we say it, is the ancient equivalent of a party in room 410 at 9 p.m. Jesus is in the business of turning our assumptions about what matters and what does not upside down and inside out. Jesus once told another story about a Pharisee and a tax collector who went up to the temple in Jerusalem to pray. And the Pharisee, he was admired and respected. I mean, he took his religious commitments and responsibilities seriously. But the tax collector was a despised traitor and a thief. The last kind of person you would ever want to be in the presence of God. Yet Jesus declares that the tax collector is closer to the kingdom of God than the Pharisee. Oh, and another story. Remember that parable of the prodigal son? The younger son insulted his father, demanding his inheritance, and then blowing it off on wild living. He was the bad boy who left home. And the older son was the good boy who stayed home to help his dad, who carried out the garbage, who washed the dishes and mowed the lawn and said his prayers every night before bed. Yet in the end, he was the one who refused to party and celebrate the return of his despicable younger brother. In the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan, it was not the pious priest or the reverent Levite who helped the man lying in the ditch beaten by robbers. The hated Samaritan was the one who cared for his neighbor. In today's gospel, Jesus does it again. He tells the story that he has come to show that he has come to invite everybody to the party, both good and bad, even those who don't deserve it. And in the process, gives us a vivid illustration of grace and reminds us that grace, how might we say it today, is not a matching grant. It is so easy to ask, what do we have to do to be saved? What do we have to do to merit an invitation and get in on the party? Nothing. Because Jesus invites everyone. And we get to believe that. We get to go to that party in room 410 at 9 p.m. because everyone is invited. But what about this fellow who showed up at the wedding banquet without the wedding robe? He got bounced. And worse than that, he was bound hand and foot. And it's like Matthew loves to say repeatedly in his gospel, he was thrown into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's going on here? This is strange. Does this mean that grace is still a matching grant? I mean, we still have to do something to get into the party. You still got to dress right, or you don't get in. That's not what's going on here. Rather, this is simply another example of how this king is determined to have a party no matter what. And the king eliminates what would probably be the biggest excuse for not coming. Namely, that you don't have the right clothes to wear to the party. He heads that excuse off at the pass by providing, with the invitation, a tux for the guys and an evening gown for the gals. No one would have to stay away because they did not look good enough. Everyone can come in style. So can you imagine how thrilled the king must have felt when he entered that packed wedding hall? And there was the bag lady, and there was the homeless guy who lives in the alley, and there was the stinking drunk and the grimy laborers with dirt under their fingernails, and the latest group of ex-cons who had been released from prison. They were all there, dressed as if they had just been shopping at Nordstrom. And the king loves it until he sees this guy who didn't bother to wear his tux. There he was, grinning like a fool, convinced that his own threads were good enough. And the king asks, "Well, how did you get in here without the tux I gave you?" And the fellow was speechless. He must have thought, "Why do I need to wear your tux? Am I not good enough just the way I am? Can't the king see that I am already a sharp-dressed guy?" The king was insulted. I mean, who did this arrogant fellow think he was? The king then sent his attendants to bind him, this little snot, hand and foot, and to throw him into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't this uppity guest sound familiar? Sounds a lot like folks who say, well, Jesus loves me just the way I am. Oh, God loves me unconditionally, no matter what. There's just enough truth in that to make it sound good. But it actually sounds and looks just like the fellow who showed up at the party without the tux. The grace of God becomes nothing more than a license to remain the same old jerk. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, theologian and martyr in Germany, Second World War, called it cheap grace. W.H. Auden, poet and critic, expressed the same wrong-headed idea when he put it on the lips of that familiar streetwise corner newsboy, who upon learning of the grace of God declares, "What a deal! God loves to forgive sins, I love to commit them. Isn't the world admirably arranged?" God's forgiveness, the invitation, becomes just another excuse to remain the same old rascals. The truth is, the bad news is, we're not good enough. We will never get in the party without being dressed up. But the truth also is, the good news also is, that God has given us stunning new clothes so that we can join the party. God wants to pack the reception hall. God supplies us with a tux so that each guy can be that sharply dressed man. And God delivers a party dress to each girl so that she can be a debutante. God promises to cover up all of the dirt and the ugliness with Christ. Oh, there may not be a party in room 410 at 9 p.m. But there is a party at 600 North Ford Road in Zionsville, Indiana, at Christ Lutheran Church, and it starts in about 6 minutes at that table. And the host wants you to know, "I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. My body has been broken. My blood has been shed for you in Christ. Put them on. Everything is ready. Let's party. Amen.